Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to talk to you about, begin to speak about some of the benefits of prayer. And as we move on, we've kind of already got some preparations for prayer. We've got the prayer itself. And we're going to look at some things as we continue on. I told you before, as we started this year, this subject of prayer is going to be a whole year-long thing, okay? Probably one of the most misunderstood or least understood things of the Christian life is this subject of prayer, okay? We only see it in a small sense of what it really is. And so we really need to get through it and to really bolster, that's a good word, our knowledge and wisdom and understanding of prayer and what it means to commune with our God. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we'll read responsively here in chapter 4. I'll read the odd verses by myself, and you can join me on the even verses as we go with verses 1 through 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You understand that what God wants is he wants us in tune with him. Amen? That's where we need to be in our lives. Paul is expressing his deep emotion and love for these people. These are dearly beloved people. As we trust Christ as our Savior and we're born into the family of God, do you understand that you become dearly beloved? God loves you so much. So much that he gave his son to die for you. So much that he made sure that you could have salvation. And listen, so much that you could have knowledge of salvation. Do you understand all that God has gone through to preserve his word? And to make sure that we have the word of God so that we can know God and we can know the salvation of God? Folks, I don't know if you really understand that without the preserved, perfect Word of God, we don't know anything about God. Right. We don't know anything about salvation. We don't know anything about this supreme being. We don't know anything about prayer. We don't know anything about life. We don't know anything about anything, really, without this book. Because you understand that human knowledge and the knowledge of this world is all vanity. It's vain. We've got to realize that God has accomplished all this, and we're dearly beloved in his sight. We're longed for in his sight. We're his joy and crown, and he wants us to excel. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be in him. He's given us these preparations we talked about, standing fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart. And leaning not unto our own understanding, right? In all that way, we talked about in Proverbs how Solomon said that. When we come before the throne of God in prayer, boldly, that's without reservation. Just like Esther went boldly before the king. Okay? She said, it doesn't matter how he responds, I must do this. Folks, I hope you understand. It doesn't matter how God responds. Prayer is something we must do. We need to boldly enter into his throne. You say, well, what if I don't get a favorable response? Doesn't matter. What if I get a favorable response? Okay, that's good. But the result shouldn't affect what we do. We need to do the doing. We need to go before him. We need to pray. We talked about the general sense of asking a favor and the solemn address to the supreme being. We talked about entreaty and earnest and urgency in petitioning and pressing God for something in our lives. That's supplication. We talked about that should be coupled with thanksgiving, rendering thanks for good receipt because God is good. All the time. We talked about last week our requests. The expression of the desire to some person for something to be granted or done. You understand that we talked about specifically how our desires need to be his desires. We need to line up with the will of God because that's what he's going to answer according to. God is not going to answer according to whims. He's not going to answer according to, well, oh, okay, fine. Okay? God doesn't ever say, okay, fine. He's like, no, if it's according to my will, if it lines up with that, then yes, you're going to receive it. If it's in Jesus' name, which of course means that it's according to God's will, that's how we're going to receive things. That's how we're going to get things. That's how we're going to get these requests taken care of. And it's when we line up with him that this next part takes place. In verse 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, Paul is trying to very carefully lead these people into success. Because he cares for them. Because he loves them. Because he wants them to succeed. He says, look, if you'll be careful for nothing, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. When we have the right attitude, the right motive, the right thinking, the right relationship, the right fellowship, when all things line up, when we're the servant, he is the God, then these things are going to be in line. And one of the results of that whole process is the peace of God. The peace of God. Now, what is this whole world, if you will, clamoring for, right? World peace. Right? Do people want to be in war and strife, etc.? In a natural state, do we want that? No, we all want peace, right? I mean, how many of you go home and you just want to pick a fight with your wife? Right, guys? Is that what you desire? Come on, gentlemen. I know your wife's sitting right next to you. It's okay. ladies, do you go home and you want to pick a fight with your husband? You say, okay, big boy, come on, let's go. You know? No, I mean, no, we're, we're, That's not our desire, right? What's our desire? Peace, right? Or as Dr. Gomez would always say, peace, love, joy, greasy hair, you know? He was a product of the 70s. that's what we long for, right? I mean, who wants to be at odds with everything around you? You say an insane person, exactly. We don't want that. We want, and guess what we seek? What do we seek? Peace. Do you understand that people are like electrons? Come on, science teachers. What do electrons do? Well, yeah, but they seek the path of least resistance. Okay? So that's exactly what we're like. And so we're looking for peace. We're seeking for that path of least resistance. Can I tell you something? When everything lines up and that path is right toward the throne of God, and through it, through and in and by prayer with supplication, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you know what that is? That's peace. When we are in line with God, that's the ultimate peace. Hey, think about this. Before salvation, you were opposed to God. You understand that? You were in opposition to God. Through Jesus Christ, when you submitted to Him, when you humbled yourself in the sight of the Lord, when you came to Him for salvation, guess what that brought? Peace with God. Everything had been mended. Everything had been cared for because of Jesus Christ, because of salvation. We had peace with God. Guess what causes unpeace with God after salvation? Take your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter 1. You should have this memorized by now. Verse 5, this then is the message that we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That's unpeace. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, peace. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Unpeace. If we confess our sins, peace. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, unpeace. We make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You see how that goes from being in tune, in line, and out of line. In line, out of line. In line, out of line. Light, darkness, light, darkness, light, darkness. Folks, when we are in a state of real prayer, what prayer is? Expressing an address to the supreme being. When we are in His presence, when we are in line with Him, when we are in tune with Him, and our desires are His desires, and our will is His will, and our wants are His wants, and our needs are what He wants to fulfill in our lives and all these things. When it's all working correctly, we get the peace of God. When we're in any opposition, we don't get that peace. Think about this. I thought about this a lot. Many of the times, if not all of the times, that I have messed up or acted out incorrectly, it's because I wasn't in line with Him. It's just the truth. You know what? This may shock you, but I don't always say the right things. I know that's shocking. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to disappoint some of you.
You know, I don't always do the right things. I don't always behave the right way. Hey, I don't even always make the right choices. But here's what I've found after some good old-fashioned self-examination. And you may have found yourself in this place too. That in those times, you weren't in line with Him. Because when I am in line with Him, I all of a sudden make good choices. I say the right things. I do the right things. I behave the right way. Why? Because my thoughts are right. My desires are right. My heart is right. Everything's right. And I'm at peace. And by the way, those times where I say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, guess what that causes? Strife, discontentment, struggles, difficulties, arguments, all caused by what? Not being in line with Him. Paul wanted these people to avoid this kind of heartache, this kind of difficulty. He gave them the keys to having a true, right relationship with God, or if you will, a true, right, and correct prayer life with God. Can I tell you something? Prayer is life. And a life of prayer is life. It's peace. It's what we should desire. It's what we should long for. It's what we should look for. It's what we should seek. Our daily life with God. Our time with God. So we need to look for these things. Go over to Colossians chapter 3. Just a few, or just one chapter over, just a few pages. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If you think about this, he's saying, look, heaven ought to be what your mind is all about. Time and spending eternity with God. We have God on the throne and Christ on his right hand. And right hand, over here. No, this, yeah, I've had it right. Right hand, there's God is the speaker, Christ is the plant. Okay, so we've got it all set up. This is what we're supposed to be looking to. This is what we're supposed to be thinking about, dwelling about. The throne room of God, the presence of God. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Learn about walking in light, not in darkness. In tune, not in opposition. Why? For the peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God happens when this gate has a clear path. He says, for you are dead. That means this should not ever happen. And your life is hid with Christ in God. This is what should happen. This is what should be on a continual basis. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. What life? A life of light, not a life of darkness. He says, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He says, in order to accomplish this, mortify therefore your members, put them to death, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the children of wrath, or the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. You understand, he's wanting us to do this. Skip down to verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. You're saying that when Paul was talking just a few pages ago, and he said that we should be careful for nothing. We should trust God. We should in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, or prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests, those requests that are His requests, those requests that are His desires, those requests that are His will, be made known unto God, and the peace of God. It can rule in our hearts. It passes all understanding. It shall keep our hearts and keep our minds through Jesus Christ, the Son of God that's sitting on the throne that we've set our affection upon. Do you see how these things just work together so perfectly? It's all connected. And it's what life is in Christ. Because Christ is our life. As you look through the Gospels and you see the life of Jesus Christ, He was in tune with His Father. He was in prayer with His Father. He was following His Father. He was doing the works of His Father. He was trying to please the Father. He wanted communion with the Father. And in a line, a direct line that was unimpeded by any other thing, He wanted the kind of relationship that we should desire with the Father. And I'm trying to really go out of my way to explain that this is what prayer really is. It may take us a lifetime to get to where we see prayer this way. But can I tell you, it's worth the journey. It's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the time spent on finding the peace of God. In Psalm 29, David writes and says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in the temple doth everyone speak of His glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. Seven times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments." Do we commune with God how we should? Do we hear His voice? The voice of God does all these magnificent things. But does it affect us? Are you shaken like the wilderness? Are you broken like the cedars of Lebanon? Do you feel the vibrations of the thundering of the voice of God? How powerful it is. The voice of God has animals giving birth. That's amazing. It's exciting. Is the voice of God exciting to you? Or is the only voice you hear when you enter into God's presence your own? Who does all the talking when you pray? You say, "What? That doesn't make sense." Well, think about it. Are we that selfish in prayer that all we do is we just pray, we say what we want to say, and we don't stay to listen to what He has to say to us? You ever think about that? You say, "Well, after about 5 minutes of prayer, I ran out of things to say, so I stopped praying." Ooh, ponder thought. I just saw about 17 light bulbs go off in some of your heads. You've never thought about that before, have you? You say, well, prayer is me coming and making my request known unto God. Yeah, but Paul said, after we do that, that then comes the peace of God. Through his voice. How long, do you ever stay and listen after your time of prayer? Or do you leave? Let that sink in. We need to think about this whole thing of prayer. This whole attitude of prayer. Many times we just come, we make our request known unto God and say, all right, off to life again. And we walk out without even listening to the voice of God at all. Psalm 119, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Proverbs 3, Solomon writes, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up. The clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Folks, I'm telling you, this thing of prayer and this promise of the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This promise, this is a promise. Post-prayer. Post-trusting in the Lord. Post-standing fast in the Lord. Post-rejoicing in the Lord. Post-prayer. Post-supplications. Post-thanksgiving. Comes the peace of God. And this is what we receive from God. In Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 9, it says, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Would you agree with me that the peace of God is perfect peace? It's complete peace. There's nothing, it's the whole peace and nothing but the peace. It's all of it. And there's nothing else to have. The peace of God. I love what it says. We're going to touch on this just a little bit, but look down in verse 9 of our text. Those things I read this. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. That's one of his titles. The God of peace. We need to understand that God wants us to have peace, but we're not going to get it if we are in opposition to him. We're not going to get it if we don't go to him in prayer. We're not going to get it if we don't have his wisdom. We're not going to get it if we are not displaying the righteous light walking kind of life that we need to have. And by the way, how many of you would be ashamed to enter into His presence having darkness in you? Hello? Yeah, because you know you're in opposition. I've told this to you before, and I don't mind telling you again. When I was in opposition to my parents, I did not want to be around my parents. I noticed that when my children are in opposition to me in either deed or attitude, guess who they don't want to be around? Dad. They avoid me. Just like I avoided my parents when I was in opposition to them. Just like we avoid Him when we're in opposition to Him. And folks, we all know. One of the first messages I ever preached in the Christian school as a principal, I preached about pet sins. And I used kind of the idea of like a snake, but I used like hoses. And I started out with a little hose, you know, a little, because, you know, hoses are kind of flexible. They're kind of snake-like, you know. You can associate sin with the serpent, that old devil, you know. And so I had this little hose, you know, and I had this little cute little hose, my little pet sin in my pocket. And that was my little pet sin. But it's funny how those little pets, they grow, don't they? And I had several different sizes of hoses, and I ended up with one of those big air conditioning ducts. You know, and I got inside of it, because that's what happens. Sin swallows you up. Are we going to go into God's throne room with our little pet sin? No, we're probably just going to avoid Him altogether. And we're just not going to pray. Because that's what we do, folks. We need to, and guess what? Why do you think we don't have peace in our lives? Because we're not doing things the right way. We're not going about them the correct way. God wants us to have peace. Oh, by the way, Jesus said this in John 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. So think of this. We, having salvation, having the gift of God in the form of salvation, but also in the form of the Holy Spirit of God, which seals us unto the day of redemption, we get to enter into the throne room of God the Father and Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. Guess what? When we are in line and in tune with Him in prayer, we get to have a good old family reunion. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and us. Do you think God's happy with that? When we all could get together? I think He is. He's the God of peace. He wants us to have peace. Paul loved these people. He wanted them to be at peace with God and have the peace of God. It passes understanding. It keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, His Son. John 16, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Well, that goes in line with what Paul said here in Philippians. Where is this peace? It's in Jesus Christ. Where is this peace? It's when we're in line with Him. When we stand fast in the Lord. When we rejoice in the Lord. When we trust in the Lord. When we're in fellowship with the Lord. There's no darkness. It's light. Walking in the light as He is in the light. That's how God wants us to live. Psalm chapter 4, David said, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You understand that David was known as a man after God's own heart. Was David perfect? Yeah. David had times of successes. David had times of defeats. But David knew the answer. I think David really knew what prayer was. Do we know what prayer is? Can we exercise it properly and receive the peace of God? In closing, take your Bibles and turn over to Romans chapter 8. I want to give you a little bit of hope. Not too much, just a little. So how do we accomplish this? This peace of God. How do we accomplish, as we've prepared, we're standing fast in the Lord, we're rejoicing in the Lord, we're trusting in the Lord. We know what prayer is. We know what supplication is. We know what it means to add thanksgiving with it. And we know what it means to have our requests in proper line with the will of God and in tune and in line with Jesus Christ. David gave us the answer in Psalm 4. Paul reiterates how this all works and how the peace of God happens and how the God of peace makes this happen. In Romans 8 here, it says this, there is therefore now no condemnation. You know what that is? Peace. To them which are in Christ Jesus. Paul told us that. That he's going to keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Remember Colossians 3. When Christ, who is our life, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You know what? When I'm free from the law of sin and death, I'm at peace. I'm at peace. For what the law could not do. You know, the law can't bring you peace. It was weak through the flesh. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That's not peaceful. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. That's darkness, folks. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's life in Christ. That's peace. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And may I say, cannot have the peace of God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, you know I love that word, vivify your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Job 22 says, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Psalm 34 says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You know what that is? That's the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, which keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know how this is accomplished? In everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, and the peace of God is what follows.